Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Hello, bastards and wenches, and welcome to another edition of our Anime Boston 2018 interview podcast special. On today's episode, we sit down with someone that I would consider to be the mayor of Anime Boston, voice actor Greg Ayers. Some of you may know Ayers as Negi from Negiba, Frost from Dragon Ball Super, Yu in Haikyuu, and Karu from Ouran High School Host Club. And I call him the mayor of Anime Boston because he's been a staple of the con since 2005. This was a one-on-one interview that I took part in, which means it's a bit more candid than the rest of the interviews you have heard. So hopefully you'll find this to be a little bit more enjoyable because of that. So strap on an AT as we roll on in this Anime Boston 2018 interview podcast special with Greg Ayers. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. We just got back from the Murakami exhibit at the Boston Museum of Fine Arts.
So. Oh my god, I went there a couple of weeks ago.
The city, yeah.
Yeah, I went a couple weeks ago there. It was fantastic.
Isn't that exhibit amazing?
It's amazing. Yeah. Although I will say this, I was so pissed off when I went into the gift shop. I'm like, I'm going to buy one of these little plushies.
We just talked about that.
$85 for this tiny thing.
Yeah, we were talking about the little plush button that's $26. I was like, this is the most expensive button you can buy, I think. I think it's funny. As much as I'm not a huge fan of Banksy, I never was it more appropriate. And somebody actually in the gift shop said, exit through the gift shop. And I was like, wow, I was just thinking that. So, yeah, fantastic.
Now, as I mentioned, I do see you as, like, Anime Boston's unofficial mayor, because you've been coming here nonstop since 2005.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I would be bummed if I wasn't here on an Anime Boston.
Yeah, what is it about our convention that drives you to return over and over again?
I tell people this all the time, because it is the biggest small convention on Earth. Like, this is one of the biggest shows I do. So, I mean, and the numbers keep getting bigger every year, but this is not a show that feels like those massive corporate, you know, shows. Like, I still make friends here. I still have people come up and just talk to me here. It still feels like the kind of events I went to as a fan. So, but on top of that, it's Boston. Like, Boston's a beautiful city. I tell all my friends, I'm like, it's the only city in the world where you step outside of your hotel and you know you're in Boston. So many cities I go to, it just looks like Hotel City.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Like, oh, well, here I'm at Hyatt City. Here I'm at the lovely Wyndham City. Like, because it's just, you know, it's chain restaurants and, like, all, you know, that stuff. And you're usually, you know, right next to a convention center or in the same hotel. This, I feel like, this is like a destination. Like, I get away, I see things. The one other thing that has always taken me aback is that, I have the worst ringtone on Earth, sorry about that. People from the internet may recognize that ringtone, but,
it's okay.
But one of the things that I always loved about Boston is so many conventions that I go to, the people that run those conventions don't really have anything to say about the city you're in. Like, oh, it's Chicago. I was like, oh, let's go to Millennium Park. I've never been there. I don't know anybody that works for Anime Boston that doesn't love this city. Like, and people are quick to tell you why they love the city. So, like, you want to come back. Right. You want to be here. A long time ago, at the beginning of my career, I was asked, what's the best convention you've ever been to? And luckily, Pat Delahanty was there, and he's like, don't make him answer that. And I was like, oh, okay. Dude, I'll go ahead and say it. It's Anime Boston. This is the best convention out there. And when anybody gets a little too proud of themselves, I'm like, man, you should really check out Anime Boston. Like,
it is.
You want to see a show that runs on time? Yeah, check out Anime Boston. So, like,
I would say 90% of the time it runs
on
time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's a con, you know.
It's a con.
It can't have perfection. But, yeah, like, just between the people that work here, the people that make up the attendee body of the con are fantastic. Some of the best cosplay. My panels here are some of the my uncensored panel, this is the rowdiest crowd I play to for that panel. Which, by the way, I have new, very vulgar material for tonight.
Oh, man. So, what time is that at?
Well, 9:30 in panel C.
All right, I'm going to have to remember that.
Definitely.
This is going to be up, like, way after that, but
definitely.
I'm looking forward to hearing more about this.
Fun.
But how does it feel like to be going back? It's like a little bit of a friendly rivalry, because you got your WTF panel, but then Tatum brought his WTF panel.
Yeah, but it's a little bit of a different thing, and to be fair, I've been doing this a little longer than Tatum, so I think Tatum's, isn't it called Michael Tatum Shares Too Much, or something like that?
WTF 101.
Oh, yeah, see, mine's raw and uncensored. It's exactly as vulgar as it sounds. Like,
right.
I think it's the difference between Chris Rock and Richard Pryor. I think I
would
be in more the Richard Pryor category, so yeah, but like, Tatum's panel is different. Like, Tatum's is more of a formal panel. Mine is almost like a stand-up comedy act. You know, it's just like a bunch of horrible stories, and yeah, I don't want to give away too much tonight.
Right.
But yeah, I think, you know, there's room for everybody to be funny, and there's room for everybody to be raunchy. Like, years ago when Tom used to do his hentai dubbing panel, I was opposite that, and we had two full panel rooms. You know, it's like, at shows, you know, where I'm in charge of doing raves, like, there's still an 18-plus panel going on during there. That's the coolest thing about cons with late-night programming, is there's something for everybody to do.
Yeah.
Like, not everybody likes my jokes. Some people might want to just sit and look at Michael Tatum. Some people might want to go listen to a music event. So
exactly,
it's all good.
That's what's great about Anime Boston, is there's always something to do. Like,
for sure.
Every half hour.
Oh man, there's always four things to do here.
Yes. So my very first introduction to your voice acting talents was that of Negi Springfield and Negima, and I've always thought you did such a wonderful performance
And it's the most painful voice I do. It really is. It's so hard to do that voice.
So I'll ask it the way I asked Tatum and Brina when talking about, like, Black Butler. Was it hard not to Dick Van Dyke that, like, accent?
No, absolutely not. Like, one, I grew up watching British television. Like, I grew up, like, and not just, like, Monty Python, but, like, British soap operas and British game shows. So, like, everything, and I still do. I still watch Four in a Bed and, Great British Bake Off and all the, Come Dine With Me. But, like, there was never a need to punch the accent, because we had to make a daring choice about Negi's accent to begin with. Negi's technically Welsh.
Yes.
And Welsh people have a very, very different accent from a British, you know, a standard British dialect. So we tried it with the Welsh accent, and he sounded like a very drunk little child. So they're like, well, if Negi was formally educated, he would have probably been educated in London, and so we decided to go with a British RP accent. So the funny thing is, the first place I ever premiered Negima was in Britain. I was at a show in Leicester, and I had to play it for a crowd of people, and I was just like, oh my god, why would you make me do this? Like, here I am doing my little British accent, and the funniest thing is, my first autograph session, this guy came up to me and he goes, what's the matter? You didn't want Negi to sound drunk. And I was like, exactly. He goes, well, on behalf of the Welsh, we forgive you. And it's the greatest, greatest little bit. But, and that's what I love about British people, too. Even the people that didn't like my accent were like, well, you gave it a go, didn't you? Like, at least nicely rude. Mm-hmm. So, like, it was always funny, because our director, Colleen Klinkenbeard, and I would go back and forth about the accent, because her idea of a British RP was more the British RP of, like, Merchant Ivory films, like Dance and Kant and Shant, where I watch British television, it's more like dance, like Kent. It's more of a rounded sound. So even my director and I would go back and forth on the accent. So I always had a lot of input to make sure I didn't get too ridiculous with the accent.
Right.
So,
I mean, you have to especially be careful how you pronounce the word can't in British.
Oh, well, that's true. Well, but that word isn't offensive to them. That's the same word. That means like jerk in Britain. Like,
it does.
It's so funny to hear a British person come over here and start throwing the C word around and people are looking at them like they're mad. But when we say the word fanny, they look at us like we're crazy.
I know.
Too.
It's like a fanny pack. Whoa.
Like, oh, why would you? Pat her on the fanny. No, please don't pat her on the fanny. Like, yeah, totally. Different words mean totally different things here and there. Yeah,
I did want to ask about, because recently you did a dub for Squid Girl for the and you did probably one of the most amazing workarounds, because one of the toughest episodes I can imagine dubbing in English is one that involves characters learning English.
Yeah.
So what was your reaction to be like, oh, we're gonna have them speak British instead?
Yeah, well, see, I've done more than one show that had that problem, like in Beck Mongolian Chop Squad, which is now just referred to as Mongolian Chop Squad. Maho and Ryusuke both grew up in America. Yeah. So there are times in the show where they curse people out in English or they say things in English. And people would always say, oh, that dub can never be made because what are you going to do, make them speak German? And so what they did, and it was a choice, I was used to directors having to make this choice, the way Chris Bevins and Towles and Jaffe decided to solve it is not make them speak a different language, but their characteristics be more American. So like Maho, when would you ever hear a Japanese girl go, yo, like, and scream at someone? They made Maho just very American, but she was Japanese. Mm. So like the idea to do the British accent thing was, Squid Girl is funny enough that it plays. Like,
right.
It's just funny, and you're like, oh, what are they doing? And so like, it was just a really good stylistic choice. I'm also from the days of, like, I used to be a dub hater, so I know that I would never watch in English, he's awful in English. So I know there's somebody like, I cannot believe the Cinta Filmworks had the nerve to make them speak in English. Yeah, like, and that's entertainment to me, too, because I'm like, yeah. Well, we have to give the haters something to eat on, you know, but, like, I think with Squid Girl, it was a choice that made sense because the comedy is so punched up in that show that it was just so easy. Like, I think there could have been multiple choices, and it would all worked.
Oh, absolutely.
That show's so funny. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it was a really cute show. You're the first person to talk to me about Squid Girl, so
well,
that's really cool.
I bought the premium box set.
Ah, awesome.
Because
yeah.
It was one of my absolute favorites. It's a show you would see, like, oh, it's a Squid Girl. Oh, tentacles. Oh,
nope.
But no, they
nope,
go
totally
all different.
Different
routes.
Yeah, totally
it's so
different.
Great.
It's an adorable show.
It is. I actually have a little Nendoroid of Ico Musume.
I collect them, too. That's another expensive habit. Nendoroids.
It's me and plushies. Because
Oh,
I've actually got little
Ginkgo. Awesome.
And I don't know if you've ever seen Chomusuke from Konosuba.
That's brilliant. I love that.
But, all right, cool. So, now you do tend to go for the roles, or you get cast for the roles that make all the anime fangirls, and I'm pretty certain some of the fanboys, scream to ear-piercing volumes. Like, most specifically, like, Kaoru from Ouran High School Host Club, Nagisa. Like, how do you personally react to these fans who simply are in love with both the character you play as well as your interpretation?
We'll see. Like, I think people like those characters. Characters not because, like, I've been asked this question a lot of different ways. I think a lot of those characters are sweet. Like, they're very sweet characters, and that's why girls just melt. Like, Nagisa is the only one on this swim team that is, like, just a good guy all around. Like, he's just a sweet guy and would never hurt anyone. But, like, fandom is such a weird thing because, like, I'm such a big fan of things. I get kind of embarrassed when people, like, there was a show that Johnny Young Bosch and I were at, and, like, people were just squealing when I walked out on stage, and it was the weirdest thing to me because I'm this, like, grown, gay, punk rock, tattooed dude, and I'm like, what is this? But, and he even said, he goes, you don't like all that screaming, do you? I go, oh, no, I get really embarrassed when that happens. He goes, yeah, me too. Like, so, like, it's one of those things that, like, I don't ever try to cut anybody's, like, my friend has a phrase, I don't try to yuck anybody's yum. You know, like, if somebody likes what I do and they want to get wiggly when they see me, I don't want to make them feel bad by going, what are you doing? But, like, it's very weird to just be in this, like, Michael Tatum. So when Michael Tatum and I did Oran, we were at a screening, the first time it was ever shown publicly. And the doors to the host club opened. And Michael Tatum was, like, fairly new to all this. It was one of the biggest first roles. And the door opened, and they went, "Welcome." And then you could not hear anything for the next 3 minutes. It was just, it was like we're at a Justin Bieber concert.
Whoa.
And I was like, and I just sat there laughing, because at a certain point, it's ridiculous for, like, adult, just, like, for hours. And, like, and Michael Tatum looked at me, he's like, "What is this?" I was like, "Welcome to be shown an anime, dude." Like, I was like, "Welcome to being one of the pretty boys. Like, this is what this is going to be like."
And, you know, it's not just
and
that.
And then grew into it. Like, yeah. He is totally comfortable with that now. But, like, it's something that is very weird the first time it happens.
Like, yeah, exactly. I've been to actually, like, movie screenings. Like, I remember going to see Madoka Magica at the Barrel Theater. And the girls would just be screaming their heads off, like... It's not like they're there in person. You're watching them on screen.
That's so funny. Well, and then the take on, like, people that don't like it, they're like, there are people that didn't like my voice. There are people that don't like my voice in anything. So that's fine. And good. I'm glad they have a hobby. But, like somebody was like, "Why do you think these girls are so mad about the cast of Free?" And, like, I said... I have this horrible analogy system, and it's going to get me in trouble one day. But, like, it's because we put the wrong voice in their pretend boyfriend.
Like, that is... No, you are absolutely right.
I'm like, sorry you have to break up with your pretend boyfriend. But
it's like when you read a comic or a manga, and you have this idea of what a voice is like, and then you hear the voice, and it's like, that sounds nothing like what
it's
I
like
imagined.
It's like when you read a book, a scary book, and then you see the movie, and you're like, "Oh, this isn't even scary." Like, because... You played it all up in your head, so yeah.
Exactly.
But it's funny. Like, I just roll with it. It's a fun job. Like, you know.
I can imagine. Now, one of my favorite shows of the last couple of years, a show that, like, I'm not really big into sports, but my God, IQ is probably one of the most amazing.
Aren't you serious? Man, I specifically don't like that sport, and that show makes me like that sport.
Exactly. It's like volley. Why? Like, it's a volleyball, and then there's a badminton. Where the hell is my hockey anime, for God's sake?
Yeah, it's so weird. That show is so well animated, and they
well sounded too.
They punch up, like, the intensity of that game way more, like, exciting than it really is to watch live. Like, the first scene I ever saw was that first big match, and I was like, "What is this?" Like. But yeah, I love that show, and I love everybody expecting me to be cast as one character, and I got cast as another, which Bryson Bogus got chosen for the lead, and then I got to play Nishinoya.
Which love your voice of Nishinoya.
Dude,
I think it's
love
perfect.
Nishinoya. And, like, somebody's like, "Are you bummed that you're Nishinoya?" I'm like, one, he has the coolest hair on the team.
Yep.
Two, it's pretty good to be upgraded from playing the crybaby to the smartass. You know, like...
Exactly.
I like being the little shithead now for a change, you know? So, I love Nishinoya. I love that character. I love that he's short and he doesn't care. He's like 5'2", actually. Is that okay? Like, he's really good. So, yeah.
So, that leads me to a question of what kind of role is more fun for you to play? Is it the hero like Negima? The villain like something like in Danganronpa? Or there's the third choice I have here, which is the perverted protagonist who are kind of forced to root for, like, in Everglow's property or Air Gear.
Yeah, oh man, I do love that pervert character, and I get cast as that pervert all the time. There's a whole segment in my Uncensored panel about me and a pair of panties and my old job and freaking people out. Like, it was when we were recording Heaven's Lost Property, when I did the whole mask to pants thing, they actually gave me a pair of purple underwear to put on my face while we did it so that it sounded like I was talking behind fabric. Well, I thought it was funny because it looked like a Spider-Man mask, and I took a picture, like a selfie in the booth. I forgot that all the people that I used to work with at the law firm were on my Facebook. And she's like, "Mr. Ayers, that is not very appropriate." I was like,
"I don't work for you anymore.
I guess my job is not safe for work." So, like, it's not about picking one thing. They're all great. Each, like, the romantic, sweet characters, and the heroes are good for their own reasons. The villains are just fun to play. Like, Monokuma man, I won't ever have that much fun. Maybe Ghost Stories was that much fun, but Monokuma is the closest I've come to Ghost Stories level fun.
Yeah.
Recording. But, like, the little pervert guy, like, if Heaven's Lost Property were a live-action film, it would be the most horrifyingly inappropriate thing on Earth. But because it's comedy, I was just talking to Jill about this, I watch British comedies, and there's a show I love called The Inbetweeners.
Yes!
Oh. Can you believe what they get away with
on
that show? Like, the amount of vulgarity and the amount of, like, crude humor.
The Inbetweeners is, like, the rare comedy where I actually can only watch one or two episodes because, like, I am shocked.
Your sides are splitting, yeah, you spend the whole time laughing.
Mm.
But so I think comedy is the thing that you can get, like, as long as it's wrapped in the pretext of comedy, nobody takes it seriously and, you know, gets upset about it. So,
right.
But, yeah, so I love all of them, but the pervert and the comedy stuff is some of my favorite for sure.
Absolutely. So glad, because those are kind of like my favorites. Like,
yeah.
I like
one, there's no shortage of perverted little boys in anime, so
no,
provided I don't mind
not
doing them,
whatsoever,
you know, playing them, that's fine. Yeah.
So moving on from that to more, I won't say a serious role, but something big, like My Hero Academia.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, what's cool about My Hero Academia is that it's basically its own comic book universe within
for sure.
One show.
Yeah, yeah.
So, with you playing Amina on the show, my question for you is, because of the size of this universe, there is always the potential of a spinoff.
Wait, no, I play Koji Koda, rock guy.
Yeah, Koji Koda. Wait, what am I saying? Did I mess something up? Yes,
yeah,
I play Koji Koda.
Koji Koda.
I might be...
Maybe you just read it wrong.
I totally read it wrong.
We jokingly said he's the guy that looks like a penis head. But, like, yeah, he's the big rock guy.
Yeah, I have Koji Koda, but for some reason I have written down I betcha in Japanese his, like, superhero name is Pedicure Amina.
Yeah, yeah, it probably is, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah,
my,
okay.
No worries.
Yeah.
So my question is, with the potential of all these superheroes getting their own spinoff, like, if you had the opportunity to have your own say Koji Koda.
I don't know that Koda would get his own series, but I think he's a funny little guy. I think the fact that, you know, he can control animals and yet is terrified by bugs is hysterical. Like, I think the show is really cool, and I was really kind of disappointed because I auditioned when it first happened, and then I wasn't in it, and everybody I knew was working on it, and Colleen is like, I need you for a few hours for My Hero, and I was like, oh, wow, and she goes, and you're in the main class, you just have not spoken until now. And I was like, what? And the first thing I had to do was that little childish scream, that squeal, and she just howled laughing. She goes, that is exactly what I want this person to sound. Because he's huge, and then he has this little squirrely voice.
Right.
So it's fun. I love Koda. I mean, I love that show. There's nothing not to like about My Hero, but, like, there are a lot of actors that only want lead roles. And I get it. You get paid by the hour. I get that.
Exactly.
But, like, the lead roles sometimes aren't even interesting. The lead roles aren't even... And that's... I mean, that's not the case in My Hero. But, like, sometimes the lead character is a trope or whatever.
Mm.
But, like, if you can enjoy playing little weird characters, you will never be bored in this job. And, like, Koda is one of those gold mines. He's just, like, a fun little dude. So, or not little. He's a fun big little dude. So, yeah. But, yeah, I'd do it if they made it. But I don't think they're going to make it. I don't think he'll get his own spinoff.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, yeah.
So, my next question.
Time for one last question.
Oh, one last question. Okay. So
make it a good one.
All right.
Yeah.
So, this is the question I love asking all the voice actors here, and it's called Three Character Island. So basically, it's, if you found yourself stuck on a deserted island, which three characters would you like to have with you to keep yourself sane until your imminent rescue, and why? Specifically, characters that you have portrayed.
Oh, man. Okay, Nagisa, because everybody needs a best friend, and Nagisa would be a solid, loyal best friend. Son Goku from Saiyuki, because we would never go hungry, because that's all that kid thinks about is eating, so we would at least have food.
Mm-hmm. Unless he eats it all.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we'd have to fight him to get some of the food away. And then, the last choice is going to be a tough one. Definitely not Monokuma. We'd never make it off the island alive. No, wait, I'm going to scrap Nagisa for Koyuki from Beck, because he would be, like, the good, loyal best friend. And plus, he's a chill dude. Oh, I know who my last one would be. Heihachi Hayashida from Samurai 7.
Oh, nice.
I've always said if there was a character like that I played that I would have a beer with, if they were a real person, it would be Heihachi. And the funny thing is I based the characterization of him off of Randall from Clerks.
Really?
Yeah, and it's funny. My friend hates that I told him that because he's like, I can never not hear that now. Specifically when he's doing the whole thing about the rice, that's Randall explaining the Death Star.
Well, if you notice over here, my logo for No Borders No Race is inspired by the Clerks logo.
That's awesome. No, it's so cool. But yeah, I think those three guys would keep me level-headed, you know, laughing and fed. So I think if I can keep those three things, that's probably the smartest thing to do.
Greg, thank you so much for joining me here. This was awesome. And where people want to check out some future stuff, where can people follow you?
Well, Funimation's about to launch a new thing with information about what actors are doing, what stuff, and I don't know much about that, so I don't know. That's at Funimation.com. I also have a website of my own that I haven't updated since 2007, so don't go there. Anime News Network keeps a pretty good rundown of what we're in, but I say social media. My Twitter is a really good place to find out what I'm up to. Also, Instagram and Facebook. I have a Facebook group or page or whatever, because my real Facebook is full. But yeah, social media, Twitter, all that, all the good stuff.
Awesome, Greg. Awesome. Thank you once again.
Thank you.
And I hope you continue to have a blast here in Anime Boston.
I will.
From here into the future.
Have a bad time. Yeah, for sure. Take it easy.
You too.